Okay, let us start with a prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the greatness of your word. And Father, as we know that we're approaching the end times, Father, quicken us with your word so that we may have accurate understanding and spiritual knowledge and spiritual perception and awareness, Father, of the things that are on your heart. And Father, that the things that you would have us to come to know and be enlightened more and more, Father, so we know your truths regarding prophecy of the things that are going to befall the earth, things that are going to come to pass. And Father, that you want us to be biblically wise about all of these things. Father, I pray for everybody hearing this teaching. Father, pray that you work in our hearts so that we understand your word accurately as you meant for it to be understood. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, if you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 15, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said in verse 15, study, that means put a great effort, actually, to show yourself approved unto God. A workman of the word, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is very interesting because Paul didn't just mean that regarding the Gospels, the Epistles, the mystery, the manifestations of Holy Spirit, our salvation. He didn't limit it to that. It's the whole word he was talking about. The whole word of God has to be rightly divided. And rightly divided is literally to take a proper cutting, to take a straight cutting from the word. And what it really means is that it's the word of God untarnished, that you don't tarnish it with anything that's foreign, that you hold it in its purity and you handle it in its purity. And it's a bit like a jigsaw puzzle. If you have a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle and you put it all back to front and wrong way up and put pieces together that don't belong, you're just not going to see the true picture of what was intended for that jigsaw puzzle. The word of God is like that. If we put it together properly, we'll get the picture, we'll get the truth. If we put it together wrongly and fit the wrong pieces of the word together and dilute some, privately interpret others, ignore some, deny some, if we do any of that, then we're not going to get the true jigsaw picture of the word of God, the truth. Unfortunately, there are many people around today who deny the word, who bring their own understanding to it, and yet they may believe that they don't, but they do. And we need to learn about these things and learn what the pitfalls are and avoid them. Regarding prophecy, rightly dividing the word of truth is available. God wants us to be wise about prophetic matters that are written in the word. He wants us to be wise about our salvation. He wants us to be wise about the life and times and ministry when Jesus Christ was on earth. He wants us to be wise about who our Lord is, where he is today, what he'll do in the future. In fact, everything that's written in the word, God wants us to have that knowledge and for us to be wise. It's important for us to be wise and to have knowledge about prophecy. God didn't put it in the word, and it's something like a third of the Bible, for you and I to ignore it, or for you and I to talk ourselves out of it. And there is a lot of that going on in the wider church today, in fellowships, in groups, and in organizations. And it is not godly. And it's actually going to be the undoing of many people in the times ahead. Noah did not wait to obey God the night before the rains came. Mm-hmm. We don't wait for the rains come too, metaphorically speaking, regarding prophecy and the end times. Now, I want to make some statements and set some ground rules and some things to sharpen us up. Those who say the gathering together, some other people called it the rapture, those who say that that happens before the last or the seventh trumpet are wrongly dividing the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 51 onwards tell us that we're gathered together at the last trumpet. Revelation 10:7 and 11:15 following all deal with that last trumpet when the mystery of God will be finished. Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 2 verse 2 about the mystery of God. All of the scriptures say that we are gathered together at the last trumpet. And that presents a problem, in fact, which we'll return to in this teaching a bit later on. Something else. Those who mix up the different tribulations in the Word of God are also wrongly dividing the Word. And that's probably because they don't understand the word in this area. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12, all who live godly today and yesterday and times gone by shall suffer persecution. Persecution is tribulation. So there's one category of tribulation. It's around today for all those who live godly. They shall suffer persecution. The word says it. According to Revelation 12 verse 17, there is a future tribulation from the adversary. And that's a different one. In that time, it refers to the adversary, Satan, the dragon, being cast out of heaven. And when he finds himself on earth, he goes after Israel. And it goes after all those who keep the commandments of Jesus Christ. There is a time coming ahead where the adversary working on earth will cause God's people to have tribulation. And that tribulation will be similar to what is today in terms of persecution, but it will be a lot more intense and it belongs to a different time period than today. There's another period of tribulation, and this can be split into two. And this tribulation comes from God. And this is different than the two previous tribulations we've just looked at. There's a time coming when the trumpets will be sounded that we read of in the book of Revelation. Those trumpets are actually warnings. And Psalms 2 verse 12 talks about that time, and it addresses the kings of the earth and the wisdom that's given to the kings of the earth referring to that time is, kiss the son lest he be angry and he moves you out the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. And that period of time during the trumpet period, when you get to understand it, it's a period of time when there is tribulation sent from God upon the world, but it's in a very measured respect. And that's the time when his wrath is kindled but a little. It's not much. There is another period, and this is according to Matthew chapter 24 verses 21 to 22, when it talks about there'll be a period of great tribulation. And that period of great tribulation refers to the tribulation that God sends. And it says that if those days, the period of the great wrath of God, which refers to the seven bowl judgments, if those days were not cut short, every living thing would go. No living thing would survive. Says, but for the elect's sake, those days will be cut short. So there are at least four different tribulations. So when somebody says, oh, we don't go through the tribulation, well, which one are you talking about? Are you really sharp that there are different tribulations in the Word of God? Some are from the adversary, some are from God. Some are from the adversary designed to be foisted on God's people. The ones that are from God are designed not for God's people, but for the ungodly. So we need to rightly divide the difference between the different tribulations. These are all different. And if we don't appreciate the difference, we're going to stumble when it comes to prophecy. We're going to stumble how that jigsaw puzzle all fits together. We need the wisdom of rightly dividing the Word of God. And that which is separate, we keep separate. Those who do not separate the difference between the wrath of Satan and the wrath of God in the end times are wrongly dividing the Word of God. The faithful are spared the wrath of God. But nowhere in the Word does it say that we're necessarily spared the wrath of Satan. On the contrary, it says that even today we suffer persecution. Where does that come from? Well, it doesn't come from God, it comes from the adversary. But the faithful are eventually delivered from it. The faithful are delivered from the wrath of Satan, whether that's today or it's in the end times. All of the apostles suffered the wrath of Satan. All of the prophets suffered it. Jesus Christ even suffered it. You know, God doesn't promise blanket immunity from Satan's anger and Satan's persecutions in his way. He doesn't do it. On the contrary, he says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we need to get sharpened up. What do we mean? We don't go through the tribulation. Yeah, we don't go through the wrath. Which wrath are we talking about? There's a day coming, spoken of in the Word, when Lucifer himself will be cast from heaven to be on earth. And he then vents his wrath in a different way against Israel and against the followers of Jesus Christ. And you can look that reference up in Revelation 12:13 and 12:17. The wrath of God is far more powerful than the wrath of Satan. In Matthew 24:22, that's the record when Jesus Christ says, if those days were not cut short, when God pours his wrath out, or when he rather instructs the angels to pour out the bowls of wrath, if those days were not cut short, that wrath is so terrible, if it were allowed to continue, no living thing would survive. The wrath of Satan is like spitting in the ocean compared to the wrath of the Almighty Jah. It just doesn't compare. Those who do not believe all of the Word and rightly put it together, but only believe portions according to their choosing, and thereby wrongly put it together, and teach others to do the same, will not stand approved before our God, for our Father. They'll be ashamed in the day to come when Jesus Christ appears and brings the truth. You know? Because they wrongly divide the Word. You cannot take a few portions of the Word that you like and you hold on to and reject or deny some of the other portions because you either don't understand it, you don't like it, you want to ignore it for some reason, or you've been taught to ignore it. And that's another whole thing that we have to wake up to. If anybody teaches you to ignore the Word, think again. Wake up. Regarding those whose works are in error, right, the Word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, that their works will be destroyed. Those works that are in error, those works will be destroyed. But they themselves will be saved, even if it's so by fire. where do you want to be? Where do you want to stand? How do you really want to handle the Word of God? The Almighty Father and our Lord Jesus Christ want you to understand with great wisdom and great discernment Bible prophecy. They want you to be able to handle the book of Revelation and all the prophets and all the prophecies, whether in the epistles or in the Gospels or in the Old Testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ and his Father want you and I to handle all that word with great integrity and rightly divide it and rightly put it together in exactly the way it belongs. Now, if we believe the written word, it will all fit together perfectly as God's understanding, because he authored it. It won't fit, will it, if we simply subject it to man's understanding? Man, even Christian man, even the best teacher, the best prophet, the best apostle, if there's such a thing, in the body of Christ, even they cannot understand Bible prophecy according to their own mental prowess. Even they. You know, it takes babes and sucklings. It takes that sort of attitude. You know, the apostles and the prophets, the true apostles and prophets, are babes and sucklings. They've become babes and sucklings to become humble before our God in his word. It takes being humble to receive the thinking from God's mind. The big danger is where Christians' minds have been polluted by error and wrong doctrine. And when error and wrong doctrine is dressed up as right doctrine, and then somebody actually believes it, when their light is darkness indeed, they've got double darkness. But you see, just sitting before God and his word and not denying anything and not ignoring anything, but just allowing God to speak so that we put the whole word together, then we get God's pattern of understanding. Then we get it as God thinks, not as man pollutes it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10 and chapter 5 verse 9. It says that we're not appointed to wrath. Jesus Christ is delivering us from the wrath to come. And it says we've not been appointed to wrath. So the big problem for many Christians is, if we've been delivered from the wrath to come, or if we're not appointed to the wrath to come, then how can we go through anywhere or any of the events in the book of Revelation? Well, this is a big problem if you think that way, because the word of God says that we are gathered together at the seventh trumpet. There's only one last trumpet when it comes to the end times before Jesus Christ returns. There's only one last trumpet before he returns. There's not two. There's nowhere in the word that speaks of other trumpets during that period. There's only one trumpet. So the problem is, if you're gathered together at the seventh trumpet, that means you've got to go through at least the trumpets. If you believe that the trumpets are the wrath of God, then you've got a real problem. But the problem has come around by you not discerning what the word actually says. That period of time is not the full wrath of God. That period of time when the trumpets are blown, it's a time of warning. Trumpets are a time of warning. It's a time of also rejoicing for God's people. And indeed, the seventh trumpet ends up as the rejoicing of God's people. You read that in the book of Revelation. Well, the trumpets are the time when God's wrath is kindled but a little, as Psalm 2 says. It's not the full-on wrath. This is important to know. Very interesting. The first four trumpets deal with the land, the sea, and the biosphere. The fifth trumpet deals with devil spirits coming out of the abyss, but they're not allowed to harm or touch anyone who has the seal of God. The sixth trumpet talks about a third of mankind. I think it's a third or a quarter. Forgive me, did you look the record up? Being killed, and there's four angels that are let out. And that is after the gathering together. The angels are let out beforehand, but they're prepared for a day, a month, a week, a day, an hour, if you read the record, to kill a third of mankind. And that happens after the gathering together. That's the sixth trumpet. During that period of time, there's other things that are going on, like the ministry of the two prophets who are bringing plagues on the world. Moses brought plagues on Egypt. He didn't bring them on the house of Israel. The house of Israel were protected. And that should be like a clarion call to us when we begin to understand these things. God's, the blowing of the trumpets are not designed to wake the faithful up, because the faithful are already awake. They're a mercy of God, because time then is getting very short where the trumpets are blown, and they're a warning. When you get to the seventh trumpet, what's going to follow on after that are the seven bowls of wrath. That's the wrath of God. The trumpets are a warning. So when people say, we don't go through the book of Revelation, we don't go through the wrath of God, we've been saved from the wrath of God, it's naive and unlearned at best. It's downright disobedient and ignorant at worst, because they're not rightly dividing the word of God. The seven trumpets are not the wrath of God. It's a period of time when, as much as you could ascribe to it, is when his wrath is kindled but a little. And that's when the psalmist said, ye kings, rulers, leaders of the world, kiss the Son, Jesus Christ, lest the almighty jar in heaven will be angry when his wrath is kindled but a little, and he moves you out the way. He removes you, means he cuts you off. The word is so beautiful when it's put together, and we have God's understanding. Why wait until Jesus Christ returns, when it's available today? If we humble ourselves, he will give us the spirit of wisdom so that we can understand his word. He will give us the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him so that we can understand these matters. The book of Revelation, as we heard Ian teach last week, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to how God wants it done. How beautiful is that? Why don't we want to know that? It's incredible how many people have been taught not to open the book of Revelation. This reason, that reason, reasons stacked up as high as the Tower of Babylon. That's what it is. The revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't look in it. It's not written to you. It doesn't affect you. It's not about you. That's all a bunch of baloney. Really. So, the sixth trumpet. Now we go on to the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet, for ourselves, the faithful, is the gathering together. That's wonderful. And the seventh trumpet leads into the third woe and the seven bowls of wrath. And it says in the word that the seven bowls of the wrath are the fullness of the wrath of God. They contain the fullness and they complete it. So, if you're gathered together before the bowls of wrath, the word just stacks up. You haven't been appointed to wrath. Jesus Christ is delivering you from the wrath to come. So there's no big issue. It's solved. If you can go the word's way, and if you can drop, I'd say, the immaturity of man's teaching If you can drop those immature ways and come to the Lord, and so that you can rightly divide his word, then you'll have the knowledge of God. But if you want to pollute that with other things and pollute your mind with wrong teaching, you will wrongly divide the word, and you will not put that jigsaw piece together properly, so you won't get the picture, and you'll remain in darkness, and you won't be enlightened, and you won't know. And I pray that you, that's not you. I pray that you do come to know that if you're one of those people who've struggled in the past with these issues, that now is the time. This is the opportunity. Now is the time to take the word and to see it fit together with these things. God is working amongst us today for the church to wake up before we turn into that final hour, into those final 7 years. We don't know how far away those final 7 years are. It could start next year. Could start in 10 years. Could start in 20 years. It doesn't matter in a way, because the times are urgent today. The gathering together, being at the seventh trumpet, is actually placed as a pivotal point, or a watershed, if you like, between the seven trumpets and the seven bowls of wrath. Right before the wrath really comes, the gathering together happens. We're delivered from the wrath to come. We're not appointed to wrath, we're appointed to salvation, to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, Thessalonians says. Don't you see how beautiful this is? How it just, the plan of God just fits together? It's fine. There is no problem with the integrity of the word if you allow it to interpret itself. Yep. We haven't done a lot of reading. I'll just give you lots of references, but I do want to read this. This is in Romans chapter 15. And this is a real enlightening verse. In chapter 15, verse 4, I'm reading from the King James Bible, and it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Now, many people, many people have stopped halfway through that verse. And they read, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," okay, Old Testament, good, "were written for our learning." Yeah? And that's where they stop, and they don't go further. But look what it says after that point. Talking about the Old Testament scriptures, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, referring to the Old Testament scriptures, might have hope. Okay? Right. Through the patience and comfort that we get from learning of the things in the Old Testament scriptures, that they actually will strengthen the hope in us so that we may have it fully. That's what it's saying here. That's what Paul was writing to the Romans. And what do the Old Testament scriptures say in the realm of patience and comfort, referring to the hope? Well, to accurately understand this, we have to look at the Old Testament scriptures as being types and shadows and forerunners, if you like, of what the end times is all about. I'll take one example. You can read this in Exodus. I think it's chapter 9, if I'm not mistaken. And Israel were in bondage. And they lived in the land of Goshen in Egypt. And a prophet, Moses, was raised up. And he spoke and delivered God's judgments. Egypt were on the receiving end of God's judgments, and they wouldn't let God's people go. They were persecuting God's people. All of this is a type of what's going to happen in the end times. Pharaoh is a type of the Antichrist. Moses is a type of the two prophets of God, the two witnesses in the end times, and indeed all the prophets of God in the end times. The plagues will all happen again. The two witnesses are going to bring those plagues upon the kingdom of the Antichrist. What's also going to happen again is Israel in that day, in Egypt, when they were in bondage in Egypt, when the plagues came, Egypt received the blunt end of those plagues and those judgments. Israel did not receive the blunt end. They were protected by God. The swarms of flies came, the frogs came, the water turned to blood, the angel of death came, killed the firstborn. Israel were untouched. The power of God in judgment was put forward. It was manifest. It was real. It covered the land. Yet, Israel were protected. And even Israel's cattle were protected as well. That's how much concern God has got for his people. So when Paul wrote, he said, now the whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, we have to learn them. And then it says, so that for the purpose that we, through the patience and comfort that the Old Testament scriptures give us, that we might have the hope, that we may hold the hope, not the fear, not the dread of the days ahead, but we may hold the hope, you see. And you apply that to the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets are not designed for the faithful. Certainly the wrath of God, we're not appointed to the wrath of God. But if you think, without rightly dividing the book of Revelation, that it's all wrath, it's all the tribulation, it's all the same thing, the wrath of Satan, the trumpets of God, the warnings, the bowls which are the wrath, if you think that they're all the same thing, why bother read your Bible? Why bother? Because you're not rightly dividing the word. You have to separate out those things that are separate. You have to understand what you're talking about when you refer to those things. God protected Israel. We read these things, and there's umpteen records like this. David, young, youthful, how old was he? 15 or so? Young David killed Goliath. Goliath is a type of the Antichrist. And there's record upon record. You know. So we're not going to go into all that. But, you know, if you read or if you just think of what you do know about the Old Testament, you can begin to understand that God is teaching. Great instruction, great teaching. And Paul really opens it up in this, where he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were for our learning, for a purpose, so that we may have the hope strengthened in us through the patience and comfort that we get from reading the Old Testament records. If God did it for Moses, if God did it for Israel, if God did it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if God did it for David, etc., 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 and he won't do it for us. So you are not armed to go through the trumpet period. Well, you are. If only you wake up to what the word is saying. God will protect us. He protected Israel. He will protect us. Do we believe the word of God? Or do we want to sideline ourselves into some wrong dividing of the word, into some man's half understood mixture of the word, or into somebody's private interpretation, their theology, their doctrine, which is not rightly divided, and they're going to stand ashamed when the Lord comes because they've wrongly divided the word. And they've almost denied God's love for his kids and God's protection in the time ahead. God will not suffer the righteous to fall into his wrath. Just, you know, he's a loving father. He doesn't do that stuff. Now, he doesn't promise that we've got blanket immunity from the wrath of Satan or from the tribulation that Satan throws around, even in that future day. But we need to rightly divide the difference. What are we talking about? Wrath, tribulation. Who's, from where, for who, what? So we need to get sharp with all of those things. So that's a beautiful verse in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. But why stop halfway through the verse? No, read the whole thing and get to understand the depth of it. You know? Get to understand the depth of it. It's beautiful. It's God teaching his kids. And since he put it there in the Word, let's get to understand it. God put it there for a purpose. He wants us to have the hope, not to have the fear. He wants us to even have the patience and comfort. Learn about this patience in the Old Testament, how the saints behaved in those times. Get the comfort of God's love then and see it in the future, in the hope. Fantastic. Absolutely beautiful. So is going through the trumpets of the book of Revelation, is that the same as going through God's wrath, which we know are the bowls? It's not. It's different. You know, the word actually says we're not appointed to wrath, we're delivered from it. Do you know what? The wrath of God, Jesus Christ treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. It's going to come. And there is going to be some in the body of Christ in that future day after the gathering together who are called, chosen and faithful to be with him, to walk that same way. I want to finish with this, and it's a very simple statement. Well then, it is time today for the accuracy of the word to dwell richly in our hearts and minds. And not that we should deny the word, dilute it, ignore it, change it, or privately interpret it, which is all wrong division of the word. But today we're to rightly divide the word of God by trusting all of the word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Almighty God, and we rightly divide it. Amen.